You mean the Mill Valley?
Yeah.
Mill Valley. Yeah. Yeah. That's in October.
How do you spell wave?
Is it on?
Yes.
W-E-L-L-E, like well. Mm-hmm.
We're going to discuss.
we are
in the alphabetical order we said.
We're going to discuss Ramon Dagar. Did I pronounce it right?
Close.
Present are
Fatima,
Mary,
Rudy,
Richard,
James,
Marty,
Nancy,
and Mark.
Who all saw the film.
We all saw the film. Wow. Although I will say, I was with somebody who slept through 90% of it. And I'll
hear.
Yes, because he went in a dark room and he was tired. Anyway, but I caught a little bit of it. What?
You caught a little bit of it?
Yes. No, I mean I caught a little of his disease.
Oh.
So I missed a few minutes. Mark and I were talking about that. No, I thought it was a great film.
Oh, I love it.
Wonderful film.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was the best of the three.
So now talk about the title. Let's see. What war is it?
It's not a
war. It's not a war.
It's a war.
It's
a means gar.
Oh, it's gar. Escape. The
it means novel of the train station.
Got.
Now, why would it be called that? A moment de gar in French is like a beach read.
Right.
Beach read. It's like, you know, a
got it.
Easy read,
easy
fun.
Read, yeah. Okay, I'm with you now.
Absorbing, often a mystery.
You know, this movie left me sorry that I saw the trailer.
Oh.
Because, you know, in the trailer you see the body falling from the...
Oh, I'm glad I didn't see the trailer.
Yeah, so when she walks out, you know...
Oh, that's horrible.
You know what you felt your hand.
Although still, I love the way it was constructed. Yeah. I love the way that things that are said in the very first line of the movie, later on you're trying to remember what they were, and then they say it again.
Yeah,
I thought it was beautifully constructed.
Your two victims.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
right.
Who is the two or the two
in the very also in the very first thing she talks about killing the ghost.
Right. But then, but he.
Her first victim was her first husband.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think.
How was he a victim?
He was killed, murdered by her.
Right. It's off screen. It's
yeah. before this story, because not contemporaneous with this story.
No, that's true.
No.
Well, was he murdered by her?
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Well,
I don't know that.
Okay. He wasn't the kind of guy who was going to commit suicide over not having a child.
Right.
He had a winery.
Right after
he was a rich
winery.
Guy.
I mean, she was
going to get his money and
You know what? We never know.
Oh,
we never
know for sure.
We are made to believe 100% based on the second victim. But there is no second victim.
Right.
So
right.
we're left believing that, yes, he murdered her first husband.
That's what I got.
No, I would agree, which is...
Sure, but the fact of the thing is, in that way, you can say that maybe all of it was made up.
Yeah,
I mean, you can go quite a ways with that, and could. I mean, there would be nothing wrong with that. But if you go, you know, you could go either way.
Especially since the whole story, I mean, the whole film is like...
Yeah, it's
a... It's like it's the telling of the book that he's writing.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So that's...
So, you know, the whole, everything in that could be fictional.
Right.
Or not.
Yeah.
It plays, that's what I mean, it's so cleverly constructed, it constantly plays with your expectations.
Right.
Maybe the whole thing is a fiction, in other words.
Yes, indeed.
The Ramon de Gar.
Exactly.
And it's a conceit. I mean, the whole, you could just, you know, go anywhere.
But you know,
I don't have anything to say against it. I thought it was just fun.
As much as I like the movie, it still sort of left me empty.
Like a beach tree.
No, it's very, very clever.
And I value it. I thought it was so well done, but still.
And beautifully acted.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget.
I'll tell you what I'll remember. That farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That weird
farm. Oh, I wanted to have that bedroom upstairs.
That's arm, that everybody can hear what's going on. That farm. And then again, that scene where the boyfriend shows up in the car.
Oh, that was funny.
And she goes and gets a shotgun.
This is
fun. Second boyfriend. What did you can laugh out loud?
Well, the mother put it together right away.
The mother said, "And your name is Paul? And are you a doctor?"
The mother got it right away. And it just, I mean, it was a movie that really made you laugh. So, I mean, I don't know if that makes you feel empty. I thought it was Hitchcockian.
I loved the scene. I was just terrified. It was
That's always dangerous to say something is Hitchcockian.
I was terrified that it was going to be an incest scene, or a sex abuse scene, you know, a child.
Tension.
So I was so happy, and then he kept doing that every time. And so every time I was tense and closing my eyes, and then I'd open them and things were okay. Which is the way I wish life were, you know. It was good that way.
But the teenage girl catching the fish with her hands, that was so fun.
Cool.
Yeah, there were so many fun scenes in it.
And the woman was a great guy, but there was always that tension.
The male main character? I forgot.
Say again?
His name. What was his name?
I forgot. Which name? He was. Isaac Silverman?
No.
Pierre Bardot or something.
Yeah.
Pierre, but he kept making up other names.
Ghost Rider,
right?
Because
but at the beginning, I think the director managed to deceive the audience pretty good.
Because
at the beginning, I thought he was the killer.
Yeah,
when he was driving and they were giving all this.
Right, and then he does a magic trick for her.
Yes, and then he did the magic trick for her.
But then it's not just one twist.
So everything was pointed,
it's not just one twist, it's many twists. Then you think he's the school teacher.
So I turned to the person I was with, and I said, so is he the murderer or the school teacher?
Yes.
Neither. But, you know, I was recommended this to somebody else, and they emailed me today and said that, you know, it was great and this and this. And they reminded me of something I forgot about him always doing all these car scenes, you know, for A Man and a Woman. Mm-hmm. Remember? It was all car. Yeah. And then she mentioned a movie I've never seen, but maybe you guys have. And it's like all, it's not Renaissance. It's a word that begins with that, but it was apparently a car thing through Paris. Did anybody see that? It was apparently he did a...
Like Claude Lelouch.
Yeah, he did a thing where he raced through Paris without changing, you know, without getting any permission for anything. So people were still on the streets. And eventually when the movie came out, he got arrested and put in jail and never revealed the name of the race car driver who was doing that. But I can't remember the name.
I remember that story.
Do you?
But I don't know. I didn't see the movie.
But there was all this, I mean, those cars, you know, that driving stuff was.
Yeah. At the very beginning.
Yeah. And then at the end,
They're
going also pretty fast, weren't they?
Yeah. Ultimately, though, you could predict. You knew he was going to show up.
Who?
Yeah.
Whatever his name was.
Oh, when he disappeared.
Yeah. So
when body was found.
That was the point where sort of
you knew he was going to show up.
I wasn't on to the trick, but I knew he'd show up.
I knew that there was another twist coming.
Right.
That's what I knew.
That's what I mean. I knew there was.
So remember that his body falls to the water twice.
Right.
So maybe you saw it the first
time.
That's the one, but you're talking about the other one.
The second one where he jumps in the
water.
The one that happens while the captain's getting the wine.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So which one did you see? In the preview.
She falls down the staircase.
With the woman falling over the banister. Where the woman falls down the stairs.
When she...
She goes to the water.
But also in the trailer, though, it did show him jumping off of the boat.
He did.
Yeah, so
yeah,
like
I close my eyes during
trailers.
Oh yeah, I don't close my eyes, and sometimes even that doesn't work because I always close my eyes.
I don't go to the
trailers. I don't want.
Right.
I hate them.
I just sort of felt that, you know, that he was going to show up. He just had.
Yeah, well, because there was another twist coming, and the fact that the body wasn't found. I mean, those pretty classic things that somehow he would show up. Plus, he is pulling the strings. He's like the puppet master.
Well, you know,
he's making this all happen, so somehow, you know, he's going to...
But you, when you said he's making this all happen, I almost thought you were going to say he's making this all up.
Well,
or that.
Getting back.
Absolutely. I mean, the happy ending, would a girl like him really fall in love with
a girl like him?
A girl like her would really fall in love with a guy like him?
A girl like her would.
Or was that? Well, yeah. Or was that his fantasy? You're right. That's a very good point.
But she'd been badly treated by everybody else.
She didn't seem to have a good self-image.
That was one way to put it.
Yeah. Very nice.
Oh. Nice.
But, you know, in terms of the end, I was willing to go along with it because I knew there were twists coming. I kept hoping for more, but I didn't predict the twist. I was into it. So
I
just was happily, I wasn't thinking he was going to show up. Maybe something good would happen. Who knows what it would be. But I actually thought he was gone.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was gone, but it was the twists were all pleasurable. That's why I say it was Hitchcockian in that sense.
Yeah.
And I mean, clearly it was an homage to Hitchcock. The last shot is 100%
good.
So, and you know, it's almost like Claude Lelouch does Claude Chabrol does Hitchcock, because Chabrol did many homages to Hitchcock, and so a lot of people are saying it's very Chabrol-like. So it definitely the Hitchcock thing is there. Whether it achieves that, I don't know. We don't have the real Hitchcock, so we have to make do with, you know, things that are vaguely
One thing
like
I want
that.
To say is, like, it reminded me that how much, I don't know if we can say plagiarism?
Plagiarism.
Uh-huh. No, or could happen, like...
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he is the one who was writing.
Yeah.
For
her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but
that's how plagiarism is.
Wait a minute. What is your point, Fatima?
Well, it reminds me that sometimes glorify someone, and sometimes we don't know if that person is a real writer.
She has all these historical things that she points to. What's the difference? She don't know Shakespeare wrote all the plays.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It's just like the painters, right? They have so much work to do that we don't know if that is Da Vinci or not, or Picasso or not, because they have the studio work, you know.
And tons of authors, like some of the Russian authors, people think their wives wrote.
Mm-hmm.
They do?
Just because Tolstoy's wife wrote out War and Peace 6 times?
No. But there are many stories through literature that wives had more to do than.
But Russians particularly?
I think so.
Oh, really?
I never heard that. Younger Russian literature makers.
You missed that class.
You missed that. You were
You were cutting. You were cutting.
This is what they call post-feminine.
Modern.
It's like going back and looking at it through a feminist point of view. I definitely think it's true in terms of artists, of painters, etc. That a lot of the wives do.
The other thing that was great about it was so satisfying to have this young, you know, she wasn't so young, but the mother of the girl.
The hairdresser.
It was just satisfying to have her stand up in those TV shows and yell. And so I guess that was the thing about the movie. Almost all the stuff that happened was satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And not deep.
yeah.
But it was satisfying
and not cheap,
right? But
not cheap.
It was. Yeah. It did not feel like I say like a throwaway Hollywood comedy. It felt. I mean, you could laugh and you could feel good about laughing, like a good Hitchcock, like a good Woody Allen.
Mary Rose.
What's good?
Match for it, because I haven't enjoyed a movie this much in some ways since Matchbox.
sophisticated. He wasn't the only one.
I was with you on Match Point. Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
What a brilliant film. But yeah, I thought this was a very smart film.
Fanny Ardant.
Very
good.
Very good.
She must have had such fun writing.
She must have had such fun in that role. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do like.
And I don't recognize
him. Did you see
him?
He's very well known in France, I don't think.
Yes.
What, the main actor?
Eight Women. Did you see it?
Amelie, of course.
Amelie.
Yeah. What did he do in Amelie?
He romanced the counter girl.
Oh, the main character. The ghostwriter.
The ghostwriter is an Amelie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is somewhat of a
sad kind of guy.
Was he a minor character? But I think he's quite big. He's very well known in France.
Oh, okay. I think all three of them.
Fatima started to say something.
If you guys saw
I did.
And she was right there.
Who? Fanny Ardant?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. She's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
But I mean, all the acting, like the daughter, was really good. You know, it was a movie where the main characters were very good. The daughter caught the fish with her hands. She was very alluring. You're right. You really felt the possibility that he could abuse her or that she could seduce him.
Oh, yes.
You felt in that French way.
Yeah.
Well, she came back and said to her mother, he's a keeper, you know.
Right. She was very, very sure of herself, that daughter.
Wasn't it a little odd that the hairdresser, the central character, was so upset because the daughter wasn't back when she's never there to pay attention to her daughter?
Well,
wasn't that a little bit...
But she had this gut feeling that I think transferred to the audience. Even though we thought at the time that he still could be the serial killer.
But she knew that he had lied to her several times.
Yeah.
And he was a storyteller.
And he waited around at a truck stop to...
For 30 minutes while she was taking a nap.
Yeah.
Getting over the abandonment.
He had the creepy element.
He was a writer.
I agree.
We know that.
He had a great story.
She didn't know that. She didn't know that. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. He had at that point, he's lied to her a lot. He said that he knew that the car belonged to the author. Actually, it did. But then he said it was a lie. Right. So he... and all of a sudden your daughter is off for hours and hours.
I don't think that was unbelievable. I think that was a gut reaction from just, being aware whether you were taking care of your daughter or not. You're sort of alert to some of that stuff. So I don't think so.
But I think Rudy's right. If we didn't know what we thought we knew, we thought we might have known about this guy, that would have been a little unusual.
Which part?
Well, Rudy's saying that why did she write, all of a sudden care about her daughter or think that she might be in danger because she was gone a long time. But we were afraid of that, and that's the reason why it was okay with me. But you're right, probably.
We identified.
You guys, I got to disagree. I got to disagree. It's something that is, that people pay attention to when you're a woman. You just pay attention to it, and you're alert to people who are going to...
But if you're a woman and you have a daughter, you take more care of your daughter, not one day a year.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't matter whether you're... Sure, but that doesn't matter whether you're alert to the things that go on between men and women. That has nothing to do with taking care of your daughter. It has to do with being alert to the things that happen.
I would say she is taking care of her daughter, knowing the kind of work she was doing in Paris, even if she was a hooker or not. Put her on the farm and let her parents attend to her where she'd be safe and in a wholesome environment.
I was going to suggest that maybe it was a cinematic technique to just increase our anxiety.
Well, that's what I was saying.
I think it is, but
I think it also is believable. And at first she was a little bit worried. Then hours go by. Remember, this is like 8 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
6 hours. Only 6 hours.
6 hours. And there's a big engagement party that night, which they barely get back for and don't even change their clothes. That party was bizarre.
It was just the neighbors.
And she heard on the radio that there was a serial killer out.
The other thing too is that we had the scene where he's up in the bedroom and he said something, and now I have
the
two
fox
victims.
Is in the hen house.
No, that's it. The fox is in the hen house.
Right. And by morning, there will be something.
Yeah.
And that was just to us, right?
Yes. Well, it was taken to us.
Why was that?
I think he was coming up with this whole scenario of this book.
That's him speaking into his little mind.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. It was just very clever.
But
it
fed
well.
Into our anxiety.
Yeah, of course. Which it constantly played with. Even later when we saw the card tricks and we still thought that it might have been him.
Uh-huh.
And then we saw the other guy trying to take the card out of his mouth.
Yeah, it was good.
That was also a very short scene, but very, very well done.
Who takes it quite a
The actual rapist who's doing the card tricks for the
three high school teenage girls.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he takes the card out and pulls it up out of his mouth. And it was very it was creepy. I mean, it was just the right amount of creepy. As opposed to like little
right
children
in the movie,
which was
so.
Really creepy.
Really?
Really fabulous movie.
Yeah, that was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Little children remember about the child abuser.
Yeah.
So Roman de Gal, is that it?
Roman
de
Gal.
Yeah.
Roman de Gal.
A novel you read on the train.
Roman de Gal.
Which is why I kept thinking of this Gare du Nord.
Yeah, right.
I kept thinking of this Gare du Nord.
You were just thinking about where you were going to buy it.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right.
Good movie.
So everybody likes it. Yeah, we have nobody who's no fun.
Has
seen other Woody Allen movies.
Or have George come.